Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, dear brothers and sisters. Our study is in the Gospel of John, that is Yohanan. And I would like you please to turn with me to John chapter 8. And I would like, with the Lord's help, to conclude today with this 8th chapter, reading from verse 48 to 59. What a blessing it is to study together the Gospel of John, again to remind us all that John, whose Hebrew name is Yohanan, was the apostle that the Lord have called him to be the one that will present this amazing gospel that is called by his name, the gospel, the Besorah, according to Yohanan, to John. To remind you, John, Yohanan was that man, the disciples who he said that Yeshua loved, that Jesus loved. He sensed the love of the Lord Jesus for himself and for all those that have trusted in him. And in fact, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Mashiach, the Messiah, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm reading in John chapter 8, verses 48 to 59, and please follow me. We read, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, a Shomroni, and hast a demon? Yeshua answered, I have not a demon, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me, and I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews, this is the Jewish leaders, unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Yeshua answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Yeshua said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast him, but Yeshua hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Beloved friend, this passage is very interesting because in this last portion of the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, Yeshua now coming to a climax by showing to these Jewish leaders of the day who did not recognize him as the Messiah, the promised Messiah of Israel and the Savior of this world, he presented before them once again in this climax of this 8th chapter, because he is departing from the temple at the end of this deliberation. And here we can see that while still yet in the temple in the city of Jerusalem, and to remind you that Yeshua the Messiah taught in the temple as we began the 8th chapter. Yeshua went unto Mount Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And that's where he had this long dissertation with the spiritual leaders of Israel. But here, beloved friend, as we are coming to the end of this 8th chapter and just about to leave the temple, after a time of discussion and a deliberation and teaching and instructing and ultimately seeking for them as well as for you and I today to understand that he is the eternal Son of God, that he is that promised Redeemer, the promised Messiah, that he is the one that was sent from the Father down to this world. He is that one. And so after this long deliberation, seeking to instruct them to recognize that he is indeed that promised Messiah, they consistently in this discussion, in this 8th chapter, rejected the fact that his claims were right. In fact, in the earlier portion of the chapter, he told them, I am the light of the world. This was verse 12. And then later on, he had presented himself as the one that present the truth, and ye shall know the truth. Knowing me, knowing him is knowing the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then he said in verse 46, which of you convinces and convict me of sin? And he was that sinless one who did not sin, who knew no sin, in whom there is no sin. But to grasp it, to understand it, and to accept him, it was that which was extremely difficult for the leaders of Israel to accept, and the hardening of the heart and a lack of appreciation of the Word of God and understanding and accepting of the Word of God that the Messiah will come in the fullness of the time as a man, and he will be indeed the one that will proceed out of heaven, that he will be the eternal one who would enter humanity. That was beyond their comprehension. That was that which they have rejected. And sadly, still today, many people from all over people, tongues, and nation, we still reject the fact that Yeshua is the eternal God, the Son, equal with the Father, who came down to this world, became a man, was born to the Virgin Miriam, lived a special, unique, sinless life, died a substitutionary death on the Roman cross, was buried and rose again for our justification, had been taken to heaven, and is sitting right now at God's right hand, waiting for the day when he will return to establish here the rule of God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and sharing through his servants the message of the gospel, that whosoever will believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we are privileged today to have this message proclaimed to us in the presentation of the gospel. Now notice, beloved brothers and sisters, what we see here in the next verses, we have just concluded verse 47, in which we read, "He that is of God heareth God's word," Yeshua said in that long discussion at the temple in Jerusalem. He said, "Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Anyone who do not hear the word of God and do not hear that which the Lord is seeking to present as the one who came from heaven, as the promised Messiah, as the Redeemer, if one reject him, as they have done it in the past, and sadly many do it today in this world in which we live in, he says, really, you are not of God. And my dear friend, all of us who first heard the message initially rejected this message, initially rejected the Lord Jesus, did not accept him as our Lord and Savior and Messiah. How sad it is. But God, in his grace, have helped us and opened our eyes when we repented and confessed our sins before him. And he turned us to the person of the Messiah and showed us that he was that one that loved us so much and gave himself for us. And so, look, we continue now in verses 48. The religious leaders of the day, it says here, "Then answered the Jews," again, some 70 times the word Jews mentioned in the Gospel of John, and almost all of them has a reference to the Jewish leaders, to the spiritual leaders. "They said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, a Shomroni, and has a devil?" Now, this is interesting, because you remember that the Shomronim, the Samaritans and the Jews, did not have any dealing one with another. And as we have already mentioned this, in the study of John 4, we could see that historically the Samaritans have gone away, the Shomronim, the northern kingdom of Israel, have gone away, departed from the ways of God. And since that time, there was a break between the northern kingdom, namely Israel, and the southern kingdom, namely Judah. And now we find again this expression, the Samaritan. This expression of the Samaritan was already mentioned in John chapter 4, there when Yeshua himself have gone to Galilee, but he must go through Samaria. And we did read this in John 4, and verse 9, that the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. In other words, because the Samaritans departed from the God of Israel, because they have worshipped idols, because they have turned to other gods, because they have been violated the word of God, God had to take them away and ultimately bring the Assyrian and to take them to captivity. So the Jews did not have any dealing with the Samaritans, and that continued from time to time, from about the time of King Solomon's son Rehoboam up till the time that Yeshua the Messiah came, some 800 years. But then we read once again that the Lord Jesus came in order to not only bring the grace of God for the nation of Israel, but to reach beyond the border of Israel, to the Samaritans, and ultimately to the uttermost part of the earth. And here, Yeshua, Jesus, is accused that he is a Samaritan. In other words, he is, in a sense, what they were really saying, that he is an enemy of God rather than the one that came to represent God. And therefore, they were accusing him. He said, "We said that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon. You have a demon." You notice it says in the King James, he said that you have a devil, but there's only one devil. But they meant that you have a demon. You are demon possessed. And you see, my dear friend, Yeshua the Messiah was the one that the Spirit of God was not given to him by measure. He was the man that the fullness of the Spirit of God resided upon him. According to Luke 4 and verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit," full of the Holy Spirit, "and he was led by the Holy Spirit," by Ruach HaElohim. So to accuse him that he had a devil, a demon, was completely out of that which was the truth. He was the only man that ever lived a life in such a way that he was totally submissive to God and totally controlled and led by the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And so we read in this verse that they accuse him that he was a Samaritan. In other words, he was born to a Samaritan family and that he was demonic possessed. But how different it was from the truth. Because our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, was in a sense like, if you remember in Luke chapter 10, the good Samaritan. The one that was unexpectedly came to help this wounded individual in order to heal him and to raise him up from his wounds and from his sickness and from his pain and so on. And this is the reason why God sent his son, the Messiah, to come down to this world in order to save sinners such as you and I. And so accusing him to be a Samaritan was wrong, and yet he came from heaven for people like us who are enemies by nature. According to Romans 5, we read that while we were yet without strength, while we were yet sinners, when we were enemies, the Messiah came. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, Romans 5 and verse 8, Romans 5 and verse 10. For when we were without strength, in due time the Messiah died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Mashiach died for us. Romans 5 and verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. In other words, the purpose of the coming of the Messiah is for his own enemies. And yet they accuse him that he was a Samaritan and that he has a demon. How sad it is, my dear brothers and sisters. And I hope today that you and I all realize that Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, is the one who came in order to save us and to redeem us. But the accusation was false. And it's always, once and again, throughout history, men who is blinded to the person of the Lord accuse him as being not from God and being merely only a man. But here you see how the Lord Jesus is expressing himself before the leaders of this day. And so we read in verse 49, his Yeshua's respond. And he says, I have not a demon, a devil in the King James, but it's a demon, but I honor my father, and ye do dishonor me. He says, I do not have a demon. I am the one that honor my father, he says in verse 49, and really I honor my father, and I do come for his pleasure, but ye do dishonor me. And just interesting, because this, to accuse him to have the devil, and the word really devil is also had to do with saying that there was an evil spirit in him. There was a demon in him, false spirit in him, accusing him. But in reality, he says, no. He says, I am the one that is honoring my father. I came in order to honor him, but you do not honor me. Notice what it says in John 5 and verse 23, as we have already discussed this. We read that all men, what the Father wants, verse 22 and verse 23, for the Father judges no man, but he committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which he has sent. And so, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, the accusation that he has a demon and that he is the one that is a Samaritan is downright wrong. And Yeshua is expressing himself by saying, I do not have a demon or an evil spirit. No, I honor my Father. I honor my Father. Imagine when all have sinned and all come short of the glory of God from Adam in the Garden of Eden until today. Throughout the whole history of the human race, there was only one that honored God to the fullest. There was only one that gave glory to God from the moment that he was born until the moment that he died. I honor my Father. I honor God. And Yeshua indeed honored God in his life and in his death. What an amazing truth to learn, beloved brothers and sisters, concerning the Lord Jesus who came to honor the Father. But sadly, Yeshua said to them, ye do dishonor me. You dishonor me. Now you see, it's precious to realize that the Lord Jesus honored the Father, but sadly, by rejecting him, it is dishonoring God, dishonoring the Son, dishonoring Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, by rejecting him as the one that was sent from God. And so the Lord is responding to them when he was accused that he is a Samaritan and that he has a demon in him. He's responding. He says, not so. Not so. I do not have a demon. I honor my Father, but you do dishonor me. And so he was really, in a sense, he's the answering to the fact that when he's going to come to this world, he's going to be rejected. He will be despised. You remember as the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53, that he will not be acknowledged, he will not be accepted, he will not be embraced. And Isaiah mentioned this in many other passages, but specifically in Isaiah 53, where we read, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord have been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Beloved brothers and sisters, the fulfillment is right here, in this 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. He did not receive the honor that he deserved to receive at his first coming, as Isaiah and the prophets of Israel have already foretold, that he will be the one that will be despised and rejected of men. And so we continue, as we progress here, Yeshua continues, and he's speaking in verse 50. He said, I seek not mine own glory. The Hebrew word for glory is kavod. And the word kavod means weight and value and honor. He said, I do not look for my own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judgeth. I do not seek for my own glory, but someone else is seeking this on my behalf. In other words, can you imagine? The Lord of glory came from heaven in order to be accepted by the world that he created for his own pleasure, and yet he is rejected by men. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read, listen to these verses, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 21, 1 Peter 2:21, we read, for even thereunto ye are called, Peter is writing to the believers, because, notice, Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judge righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripe ye are healed. And here we read how the Lord Jesus the Messiah said in John chapter 8 and verse 50 that he doesn't seek his own glory. He is not the one that pursue after glory for himself. And when you think, it's really fascinating, because he's the Lord of glory. He's the God of glory. He's the Mashiach, the Messiah. To him belong all the glory. And yet he says, I do not seek mine own glory. You know how it is for us as human beings, sinners. We always love to have glory. We always love to be exalted. But here comes one that is not seeking for his own glory. That also reminds us of what the Apostle Shaul Paul said when he wrote his letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, where Paul wrote, Christ Jesus, in verse 5 at the end, Mashiach Yeshua, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is verses 5 at the end of Philippians 2 to verse 8. I, Yeshua said in verse 50, I do not seek my own glory. I seek not my own glory. But he continued to say in the very same verse, there is one that seeketh and judges. There is one that seeketh and judges. Yesh echad asher hu mevakesho vegam yishpot. In other words, there is one that is God the Father. This is Ha'aba, God the Father. He is seeking to give glory for his son, the Mashiach, the Messiah. There is one that seek for that glory. And that one is God himself. He desire to give glory to Yeshua the Messiah. We read, actually, as we continue in Philippians chapter 2, after we read of the seven steps of humiliation when the Lord Jesus the Messiah became a man, where God became a man and was humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, then at the very same chapter, in verses 9 to verse 11, we read, Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him, and giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus the Messiah is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Notice the word glory is mentioned in Philippians 2 and verse 11. The word is kavod. You see, the glory for God the Father was brought for him, not from you and I, because we all have sinned. But God received glory from his son who became a man and was willing to lay down his life for the sin of the world. And therefore we read at the end of verse 11 that every tongue should confess that Yeshua the Messiah is Adon, is Lord, to the glory, to the kavod, to the honor of God the Father. And so, while many reject Yeshua even till today in the world in which we live in, yet the Father, God the Father, He wishes. And as it says here in verse 50, he seek for that. He seek that all should recognize and give glory to the Son, because through Yeshua the Messiah, God the Father received the glory that he deserved to receive. And how it must have been such a pleasure for him to see this man living here in this world, sin apart, giving him this glory that he deserved. And you know, when you trust in him, when I trust in him, God is so pleased, because what we really say, that we fail and we sinned and we are wrong and he's right. And that he is the one that provides for us forgiveness through the Messiah, through Yeshua. And that now we can give him glory on the basis of the finished work of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, because he's the one who died for us. He paid for the sin. Now, of course, in John 8, the Lord hasn't died as yet, but it is in anticipation. Not only because of his perfect life, but also his perfect substitutionary death, which he soon to go under when he will die on that shameful tree a little bit later on, some months after from the time of John chapter 8. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, God is the one that will be making sure to provide the glory that he will receive from his Son. Notice what it says in John 17, also in anticipation of his death. Yeshua is lifting up his voice. He's lifting up his eyes and he's looking to heaven. And he says, Abba, Abba, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. In verse 2, of chapter 17, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And Yeshua continue in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then notice what he says, beloved friend, in verse 4 of John chapter 17, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast given me out of the world. And he continued there in John chapter 17. But beloved brothers and sisters, you see, Yeshua didn't seek his own glory. The Lord Jesus, the Mashiach, did not seek for his own glory, but God is seeking his glory. And you know why? Because God found pleasure in this man, the Messiah, of course, who is his Son, the eternal Son of God as man. And now we can read that he will seek, but notice, he will also judge us. He will seek for that, and he will also will judge. He will evaluate. In other words, what Yeshua is really saying, you dishonor me. Verse 49. You dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory, but God does. And he will judge. He will show you, and he will have, in a day coming, my dear friend, every one of us will have to stand before God. And God will have to ask this question, what have you done with my Son, with the Mashiach, Yeshua, Jesus? Have you accepted him, or you rejected him? Have you invited him into your life, or you turn him away from yourself? If you continue to live in sin and didn't repent of your sins and turn to me, or you repented and accepted the provision that I provided for you, my dear friend, there is no other solution for the human sin. The only solution is God's provision, the Lord Yeshua Jesus, the Messiah. That's why we read earlier in John 3 and verse 16, this is the word of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But you see, it says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Praise God for that. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Ben HaElohim. And so Yeshua is saying to the leaders of the day, one day God will show you. He is the judge, and he is the one that is seeking for my honor and my glory, and he's the one who will be the judge. And we're all going to have to stand before him one day, and he will ask us, what have you done with Yeshua HaMashiach, my son, whom I sent for your redemption? And so we continue here in the next verses, verse 51. Here is the promise to those who will trust in him and trust his word. Yeshua is saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, listen, he shall never see death. Now, beloved friend, listen. The Bible teaches us, Scripture, the Word of God teaches us of three deaths. There is the physical death, there is the spiritual death, and there is the eternal death. The word death, mavet, simply means separation. Separation. When we enter into this world, we were separated from God spiritually because we have a sin nature. When we have continued on to live life, God is appealing to us to accept him so we will not be eternally separated from him. And if a man or woman or any person lives life and ultimately died, his body will be separated from the soul and the spirit. So, spiritual death means spiritual separation. We must accept the Lord Yeshua the Messiah before we're going to die, before we're going to have this separation between the body and the soul and the spirit. Because if we would believe in him before we will die, before we leave this world, we will never separate from him, we'll be eternally with him. That's why he says here in verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if any man keep my saying, in other words, take what I said, appropriate to your heart and your conscience, accept the word of God, recognize that I came to this world to become the one that will bring salvation, will pay for your sin. If you do so, you shall never see death. Now, what does he mean here? He doesn't speak about physical death. While, of course, some will never see physical death when the rapture is going to come. If the rapture is going to occur today, the assembly, the church, the true church will be raptured. They that are already have gone before, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, shall be caught up together to meet together with them the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there will be those who will not go through the physical death, physical separation, and they will be taken out of here, like Enoch, Hanoch, in Genesis chapter 5, we read of him. Like Eliyahu, Elijah, who had been taken to heaven, not going through the process of death. There were a few exceptions. and the saints that belong to the ecclesia, to the church, to the assembly, who will remain alive when the Messiah is going to come to rapture the church, to take the church to be with him in glory, there will be those who will not go through the physical process of death. But to remind you that we do read in Scripture that it is appointed unto men once to die. This is the process that, normally speaking, every person in this world, we would have to go through the process of death. This is the way that God had set it in this world. When Adam sinned, God said, "The day that you will eat out of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall die." So that sentence had been passed on upon all men. But, my dear friend, there are those who will not go through death physically, because at the rapture, they will be taken out of here. But normally speaking, Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. But the Lord does not speak here in John 8, verse 51, about the physical death, but about the spiritual death, the spiritual separation. In other words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying," keeping mean make it your own, appropriate to your heart and conscience, accept the fact that the Lord said that we all have sinned, that he came to pay for the sin of this world, to fulfill the Hebrew scriptures, to be the Mashiach, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. If one will appropriate that, he said he shall never see death, never be separated from God. This is fascinating when we see this in the Word of God. There is a passage in Revelation, chapter 20, chapter 21, and chapter 22, which make a reference to this eternal death for those who reject the Messiah. In Revelation chapter 20, in verse 4, we read, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls," listen, "of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, and neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead, though on their hand, and they lived and reigned with the Messiah, with Christ, 1,000 years. But listen to this, "But the rest of the dead live not." Now, it says the rest of the dead, they were dead physically, they were dead spiritually, but now they will die eternally. In other words, let me remind you, they will be separated from God eternally. It says in verse 5, "But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such," listen to this, "the second death have no power." That second death is the eternal death that will come upon all who rejected the Messiah. In fact, in Revelation chapter 20, it's mentioned that it is a second death, and notice, in contrast to the first resurrection of those who are believers who will enter into the Messianic kingdom. And we can read in chapter 21 and chapter 22. So the Lord is speaking here, Yeshua is speaking about this spiritual separation that the believers on him who will appropriate his work of redemption to their hearts and conscience, they will never see death. If they would go through the death of the physical death, the body in the grave, the soul in the spirit return to the Lord, but never anymore to be separated from him, waiting the day of resurrection, when the body will be resurrected, and the soul and the spirit unite with the body, and they will be, the believers will be ushered for time and for eternity to be with the Lord Jesus the Messiah, never to be separated from God, never to be separated from the Lord. Now notice that as we continue on, beloved brothers and sisters, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep thy saying, he shall never taste death? Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? You notice this? They did not grasp the fact that Yeshua was speaking of far more beyond the physical death, but he's speaking about the spiritual and eternal death here in this verse 51. So that's why, sadly, the leaders, the Jewish leaders said, now we know that you have a demon, because Abraham is dead, the prophets are dead. Well, what do you think happened to Abraham? What do you think happened to the prophets of Israel, the godly prophets of Israel that spoke for God, to Moses, to Elijah, to all the godly men in the history of our people of Israel? They died physically, but they are in the presence of God. They were the ones that were gone to paradise. In fact, in Luke 16, we read of the one that Eliezer, who went to Abraham's bosom. They're in a good place of blessing because they will never die because they have trusted God. They will never die spiritually. They will never die eternally. They died physically because it is appointed unto man once to die, but there is a time of resurrection of the body, and the death for the believer is only with respect to the body, never for the soul. And because death means separation, and because they were believers, they will never be separated. You and I will never be separated simply because we have been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb, Yeshua himself. So, here it is. Sadly, Abraham is dead, the prophets are dead. And you say that if a man keep my saying, he will never taste death. They speak about physical death. They don't understand that the Lord spoke about spiritual and eternal death, and of course spiritual and eternal life for the believers in him. So we read in verse 53, art thou greater than Abraham, our father, than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself? They could see that he claimed to be divine by asking these questions. Whom makest thou thyself? If our father Abraham has already died, and our prophets of old have already died, who do you make yourself that you claim to say that the one that will believe in you and appropriate what you say will never see death? Even Abraham died, they are saying. Now again, oh my dear friend, it's so important for us to grasp what the Lord is really teaching here. You see, the prophets that have died, their body was placed in a tomb, but their soul and the spirit returned to the Lord to enjoy eternal relationship with the Lord. There are a couple of verses that we need to read to help us understand concerning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the fathers of the nation of Israel. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the 22nd chapter, we read these words. I think it is very important to read the words that the Lord have spoken in Matthew chapter 22. Verse 32 says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. This was a response that the Lord gave to the Sadducees, who approached him and sought to find fault in him. And they, the one that gave him this illustration of a man who died and to a wife, and then his brother took and he died, and there were seven brethren who died, and so they asked him, of course, a question to try to cause Yeshua to stumble and to fall. They said to him, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all were hers. Yeshua answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they are neither married nor given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am, not I was, but I am the God of Abraham. At all time, Abraham is alive. I am his God now, as it was in the time when he was here on earth. I am still his God. He is alive. Though his body is in the grave, but he is with me. He is in a blessed place. I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead. Abraham died physically, but his soul and his spirit is alive with the Lord. I am not the God of the dead. I am the God of the living. I am the God of Abraham, he says, and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. This is so beautiful. Anochi Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov in Hebrew. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Matthew chapter 22, verses I read 25 on to verse 32, as the Lord sought to explain this to them. And my dear friend, listen, this is so true. It is appointed unto men once to die. Physically, we're all going to go through the process of physical separation from the soul and the spirit will be separated from our human body, who gets older and decay and ultimately back to the ground. But the believer is alive with God. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 that every true believer is absent from the body, but present with the Lord. Now, of course, the leaders of Israel do not have the light that you and I have today, and it's true. But the sufficient light they have, that they should have known that believing on the Mashiach will give them the ground upon which they can receive forgiveness and will never see death spiritually. And I trust that all of us understand this, that you and I, who have trusted in him, trusted in Yeshua, trusted in the Messiah, we belong to the Lord for time and for eternity, and we will never see it anymore, eternal separation, never spiritual separation anymore, because once we are born from above, all that are in Mashiach Yeshua are new creation. All things have passed away, all become new. You must be born again, John 3 tells us by the word of the Lord. New birth means never to die spiritually and eternally, always to have the eternal relationship with the Lord. So they ask him, are you greater than our father Abraham? He is dead. The prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself? Of course, Yeshua again. Beloved brothers and sisters, this is the wonderful theme of the Gospel of John. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, we read in John chapter 20 and verse 30. And then in verse 31 it says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Yeshua, he is the Messiah, the Son of God. Who do you make yourself? They ask him in verse 53 of John 8. Well, John says, you need to believe that Yeshua is the Messiah and that he is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You see, my dear friend, there is no life without him. Because by nature we are all dead spiritually in trespasses and sins. And if we will not accept him, we will die eternally. not only physically, but also eternally. But when one have accepted the Mashiach, accept Yeshua, embrace him as his or her Lord and Savior, we become born from above and we will never see spiritual and eternal death at all, because he died. So the believer in him will never need to die. He was separated from a holy and a righteous God. He was separated from him as a man. He was separated because God laid upon him the iniquities of us all. The 3 hours of darkness, he cried, my God, at the end, before he died, why hast thou forsaken me? We read in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27, he was forsaken that you and I will never need to be forsaken. This is an amazing grace of God. And so we read, Yeshua the Messiah answered in verse 54 and 55 and 56 to the Jewish leaders of the day. And he's answering to you, my dear friend, if you have these questions and these objections concerning him, he will answer to you, whoever you are, from every people, tongue, and nation. He said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. So in other words, I know who I came from. I know who I am. Yeshua is saying, I came from my Father. My Father is the one that seeks to honor me. I don't look for honor for myself. You look for honor for yourself. I'm not. Notice what Yeshua said in verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoices to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Now, wait a minute. When did Abraham, our father, saw the day of Yeshua, the Messiah? When did he see, as Yeshua Jesus said, Abraham, your father, he rejoiced and he saw it, he saw my day, and he was glad. He was glad. You remember in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham was asked by God, in the beginning of chapter 22, when God tested him and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Can you imagine God requested from Abraham, our father, to take his only son, Yitzchak, to offer him upon one of the mountains, this is Mount Moriah, to sacrifice him, the very son of promise, Yitzchak, to be offered on the altar. And it was there that God had revealed to Abraham the fact that the Mashiach will come in the fullness of the time. And if you remember, as we read the whole story there in Genesis 22, from verse 6 all the way to verse 14, it says in verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together, the father and the son, Ha'abba ve'haben, together is a picture of God the Father and God the Son. When Yeshua came to this world, he was sent by the Father to come to this world to provide redemption, to go on to be laid on an altar in order to pay for the sin of this world. We read in Genesis 22:7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Notice, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And they went both of them together. And they came unto the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son. In Hebrew, we call it Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac. That's a picture of the cross, of the death of the Messiah, who was nailed to the tree. And he laid him on the altar, upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and he said, Avraham, Avraham. And he said, Here am I, Hineni in Hebrew, Hineni, here I am, ready to do your bidding. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Can you imagine the test that Abraham had to go through? And yet God did not want Yitzchak, he didn't want Isaac, he wanted the heart of Abraham to submit to him. And Abraham went all the way up to the moment that he was ready to offer Yitzchak, Isaac, his only son whom he loved. But then God showed him that Yitzchak was but a picture of the coming Mashiach, of the Redeemer, the Son of the Father. And so we read, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went, and he took the ram, and he offered him up, notice, for a burnt offering, instead of his son Yitzchak. Notice verse 14. Abraham saw my day, Yeshua said, and he rejoiced. In John 8, verse 56, we read in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 22, and Abraham called the name of this place, of that place, Yehovah Yireh. Yehovah is Jehovah. Yireh will see to it, will provide. Jehovah will provide. The Lord will provide. In a suitable time, in the fullness of the time, God, Jehovah, the Lord will provide His own Son, the Mashiach Himself, to provide redemption for all humanity. As it says to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And you know, beloved brothers and sisters, when Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 was ready to offer his son, where do you think it was? In Genesis 22, God said to him in verse 2, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering. Mount Moriah is exactly where Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, was right here in this temple in the city of Jerusalem upon Mount Moriah, the same har, the same mountain. Abraham saw my day. He saw it and he was glad. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, you know. We, over the generation in the land of Israel and among our Jewish people, are longing for the Mashiach to come. When will the Messiah come? When will the Messiah come? But here he came. Abraham longed for that day. He rejoiced for the promised day that the Mashiach will come to give himself as a ransom for many upon the mountain called Moriah. Right there in the land of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem. And indeed, the Messiah came. And he was glad. Abraham was glad. Are you glad that the Messiah have come? We would have no hope, my dear friend, without him. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. God so loved us that he was willing to provide the Redeemer to come to this world in order for us to be receive forgiveness of sins. My dear friend, Yeshua is here in John 8, presenting himself before Israel, longing for Israel to accept him, longing for the religious leaders of the day to accept him, and also now the day 2,000 years later, he's longing for you, my dear friend, whoever you are, wherever you are in this world, to accept him, to realize that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other ground upon which anyone can be in any relationship with a holy and righteous God, because the only way must be through God the Son in the person of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. And so notice the last remarks here. It said in verse 57, "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not 50 years old." And of course, Yeshua was about 33 and a half years old when he died. "You are not even 50 years old. And you have seen Abraham?" Notice he said earlier that Abraham saw my day. They say, "You have seen Abraham?" And Jesus answered, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," and listen to this statement, my dear friend, in John 8, verse 58. He said, Yeshua said to them, "Before Abraham was, I am." Notice what he said. He doesn't say, "Before Abraham was, I was." No. But "Before Abraham was, I am." Anochi, ani. That is a statement that presents before them the fact that he is that great I am that is found in Exodus chapter 3 that God gave to our forefathers, the people of Israel, through Moshe. When Moshe have been on that mountain and he wanted to know as he was going to go to Egypt to bring the people of Israel out. And Moses said unto God, in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 3, Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Moshe asked God in the wilderness on Mount Sinai there. And notice the answer of the Lord, how wonderful. And God said unto him, "I am that I am." In the Hebrew, it's a little bit different. It says, "I will be that which I will be." Meaning, you will tell the people of Israel that I am the self-existing one, and I will be to them all that which I will be unto them. Every need I will be to them. Every sorrow and trial they will have, I will meet their need. I'm the eternal one, and I will be for them everything. And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." The Hebrew word is Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. I am that I am. And then verse 15, he continued. And God moreover said unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Jehovah, the Lord." Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This is the name of God, the self-existing one, the eternal one, the covenant-keeping God with Israel, the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generation. This is my name. In Hebrew, Ze Shmi Leolam. The name of the Lord, the name of the sacred name. Yahweh, Jehovah, is the name of God, the all-sufficient one, the one that will meet the need of everyone that have trusted in him, and our people, of all the people of Israel, when they walked with him, he met every need. And here Yeshua, this is God the Son, as a man, he is telling to the leaders of Israel, "Before Abraham, I am." Long before Abraham was created by God, he was born into this world. Yeshua is the eternal Son, as we read in John 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Abraham was not there. Verse 3 said, "All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made which was made." He is the creator. In verse 14, "And the Word became flesh," John 1:14, "and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's the one. that Yeshua wanted them to understand, and sadly, sadly, they didn't, as many today in the world in which we live in do not understand. And you and I, if we understand this a little bit, very little, it's purely by the grace of God alone. And so the conclusion was, because they understood that he says that he is the great I am before Abraham, I am, then took they stones to cast at him. The last verse of John 8, this is in verse 59. But Yeshua hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so he passed by. In other words, no one can do any harm to him, because as long that his time was not yet to die, he just passed on. And you notice it says here, and he went out of the temple. Where was the temple? Beit HaMikdash was in Jerusalem. Where in Jerusalem? Upon Mount Moriah. Upon the very same place when Abraham was offering, seeking to offer his son Yitzhak in obedience to God. But here in the very same mountain, Yeshua the Messiah will ultimately die and become the Redeemer, the Savior of this world. His hour was not yet come, as we have already read earlier in John 2, 4, John 7, 30, and John 8, where we are in these previous verses that we have, that his hour was not yet come, John 8 and verse 20. My dear friend, how wonderful it is that Yeshua is the one that loved us so much and came down to this world. The great I am took union humanity with his divine nature, and he loves Israel, he loves us all, and he seeks to bring humanity back to himself. Have you accepted him? Have you trusted in him? Because he promised. He promised. I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Eternal salvation. Eternal relationship with God. May God bless you, my dear friend. May the Lord lead us all to continue to follow after Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, who loved us and gave himself for us. Well, I will say shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.